And I want to read another passage from Isaiah, which looks ahead to the now of our text, to Christ and what he does. So Isaiah 42, I will read the first 9 verses. And again, this is a prophecy of Christ Jesus. So hear this word of the Lord. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and I will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. And he's telling us here, he's speaking a long time ago of what we are testified to in the Gospel of John that we read. So, beloved congregation of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to the media, of all kinds of media, the world is facing many crises. Nuclear weapons, economic instability, global warming, refugees, those are all made out to be crises. And a crisis means it's a crucial, decisive time in history that without action taken, disastrous consequences should be expected. To call it a crisis implies a call to resolve it, to set things right, to have things be the way they ought to be. Now, our English word crisis comes from the Greek word that's used in our text. Now is the judgment of this world, Jesus says. The word judgment is translated from the Greek word krisis. And krisis has the sense of judging something as severely out of order for the sake of setting it right. Now again, there are lots of situations in this present world, and have been and will be, that are called a crisis by us, by the media. But we have to understand that none of these crises are that of man's rebellion against his Creator God. No other so-called crisis, if not resolved, no other crisis leaves all of mankind under God's eternal condemnation to perish everlastingly. It is God in his grace, in his mercy, in his love, that resolves this crisis. He resolves this crisis by sending his Son into the world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The eternal Son of God came into the world as the Son of Man to be lifted up on the cross and then to be lifted up in his exaltation to glory. To be lifted up to the right hand of the Majesty on High, as Hebrews 1 puts it. As Jesus said in our text, it is by his being lifted up from the earth, which is by way of the cross, by way of his ascension, resurrection, by his being lifted up to the cross, resurrection, ascension, that's how Jesus would draw man from all nations and tongues and cultures to believe in him, to be his disciples. And it is all those who are drawn to the lifted up Jesus Christ, to the lifted up Son of Man, to love him, to believe in him, to serve him. All those who are drawn to the lifted up Jesus are reconciled to God. The crisis of their being sinners in Adam has been resolved by God to his glory and for their eternal comfort. All in accordance with his eternal plan of redemption. The decisive redemptive moment on which hinges perishing or eternal life is the lifting up of God incarnate Christ Jesus. Lifted up in his deepest humiliation, suffering the bitter cup of the cross, that is his sacrificial, substitutionary, propitiating, hell-experiencing death, by which every sinner, by that lifted up of the cross, by which every sinner he draws to himself in faith, is no longer under God's condemnation, but may live rather in the assured comfort of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, as Romans 5 puts it. The great crisis into which the first Adam cast all of us, his descendants, into has been decisively resolved by Christ Jesus being lifted up on the cross and lifted up in his exaltation. As he's lifted up from the cross, from death, by his resurrection, by his ascension, he's granted all authority in heaven and on earth. And this lifting up installs him, as Psalm 2 tells us, installs him as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, by which power and authority he, the lifted up Jesus, the lifted up Son of Man, will cast out the ruler of this world. Verse 31 of our text. Now we should all know that the ruler of this world is none other than the devil, who is Satan, who is the fallen angel who instigated Adam's sin in the garden, by which we're all cast into this crisis of being alienated from God. But Christ Jesus, in that historic redemptive moment, the now of our text, in that now of being lifted up, means the devil will be cast out. And all of whom, who are drawn to the lifted up Jesus Christ, are released from Satan's power, from bondage to death, to rather have everlasting life in the lifted up Jesus. That's the gospel. That's the good news of the gospel. See, when Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world, he's referring to the judgment upon the ruler of this world in sin. God come in the flesh, Christ Jesus, the Son of Man, the promised seed of the woman, crushes the head of Satan as he, Jesus, lifted up on the cross and in his exaltation. He brings the judgment upon Satan, ultimately, as we read in Revelation 20, to cast him into the lake of fire. But by his being lifted up, God, through Jesus Christ, gives life. Life everlasting, they shall not perish, gives life everlasting to all drawn to the lifted up Jesus Christ. The lifting up of Jesus Christ condemns the world enslaved to Satan, condemns it to perish everlastingly, but reconciles to God, or we can say God reconciles himself with every sinner that he draws to the lifted up Jesus Christ, saves them unto everlasting life in the lifted up Jesus Christ. So we should all realize, and this is something everybody should know, the judgment that God in Christ Jesus brought upon the world at this redemptive moment of his lifted up, the lifted up Jesus Christ. That judgment is crucial, a decisive moment for every sinner. The gospel proclamation of the lifted up Jesus Christ, crucified and exalted, calls every person on the face of the earth to take the radical step of believing in, trusting in, serving, following Jesus so as not to perish with the world, but rather to have, again, life everlasting in the lifted up Jesus Christ. Again, that's the good news of the gospel. The call is to believe it. The call is to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because, here's the other side of the coin. That's why it's decisive, that moment of Christ being lifted up. All who continue to live their present lives on this present earth, belonging to this rebelling against God world, showing that by their actions, showing that by their conduct, showing that by their refusal to bow down before Jesus Christ, all who continue to live belonging to the God-rebelling world are doomed. God's forbearance with this present rebelling against Him world will end. And all who do not heed the call of the gospel to become separate from this world by faith in Jesus Christ, all do not heed the call to be called out of this world to join the church, to become a believer in Jesus Christ, they will all perish everlastingly and not be raised up to glory on the final day of judgment. So, beloved, think of this. For all of us who have been drawn to the lifted up Jesus Christ, what grace, what amazing love, what joy, what rejoicing to be drawn to the lifted up Jesus Christ by the gospel. To be drawn to Him who made the judgment in the world that delivers from Satan's power. That's us who believe in Christ. If that's true of us, we'll find in our lives as Christians that we'll come to love Him, the lifted up Jesus, so much that by comparison, your and my love for this present life is as though you hated it. The life He gives is so much greater, so much more satisfying. It's eternal life. So as Jesus says, if you hate your life, but follow Me, you will have your life. You will save your life. It's by faith in the lifted up Jesus Christ that our lives are saved. By God's grace, mercy, and love in the lifted up Jesus Christ. And our lives of being His disciples should be evident by our lives of thanksgiving, offering up our bodies as a living sacrifice in thankfulness for the lifted up Jesus Christ and us being drawn to Him and having all of His benefits unto everlasting life. So we could ask the question, and people do ask the question, and we should answer that question for people, why would anyone be drawn to the lifted up Jesus? Why were you and I drawn to the lifted up Son of Man, crucified and exalted? Because the gospel teaches us that His being lifted up shows the love of God. Shows the love of God for us sinners at enmity with Him. God's love should draw us to Christ, to the lifted up Jesus, as we come to realize what God has done, which we know from the gospel proclaimed. We are drawn to Him because the cross removes us believers from the condemnation our sins deserve. Because Jesus lifted up in His exaltation assures us a victory over the power of sin and death. And so all of us most likely will face physical death. And we can do so in the comfort, as we have been drawn to the lifted up Jesus, to comfort the words of 1 Corinthians 15:55, O death, where is your sting? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the comfort in which we may live as we're drawn to Christ. By his being lifted up, we have that comfort. Now, as we read this passage, we should have taken note that even before Jesus lifted up, and he says, if I'm lifted up, I will draw all people. I mean, from every culture, nation, language, I'll draw them to myself. From all the world, I'll draw people to myself for salvation. Even before he's lifted up, there's a preview of the effect of Jesus being lifted up. Because we read certain Greeks, these are Gentiles. These are people who were not part, given God's covenant promises, which were up until the now of our text, restricted to the Jews, the children of Israel. But now Greeks, Gentiles, come to Jesus. They want to see him. That means they're drawn to him, the Son of Man who is to be lifted up. So these Greeks that want to see Jesus are kind of like a trickle. A trickle of the, we might say, the flood gates being opened with the lifting up of Jesus to draw all people from all nations to himself. Shows the preview of the effect of Christ being lifted up, as he said would be the case. And as his disciples tell him, these Greeks want to see you, that Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. Now, the disciples of Jesus Christ were all Jews. They would have been familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. They would have been familiar with references to God's judgment from the Old Testament portion of God's word. The word that would have come to their minds as they knew they were Jews whose language is Hebrew, the Hebrew word for judgment is mishpat. And it occurs over 300 times in the Old Testament scriptures. And the word again has the sense of God's action to set something in order as it ought to be. And what ought to be is a people restored to God glorifying righteousness that was lost to man through the sin of Adam. And so we have references, many references to judgment of God. For instance, Psalm 9, we read of the Lord, he will judge the world in righteousness. He will govern the peoples with justice. That looks ahead to the now of our text. Christ has come to do just that. When Christ came into the world to be lifted up, to judge the world, Isaiah in the prophecy of Christ Jesus says, I have put my spirit upon him, that is upon the Son of God who came to become the Son of Man, who was lifted up. And it says, he will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. And here are Gentiles seeking Jesus. They will be justified by faith in him, declared righteous. They will not perish but have everlasting life as they trust in him who will be lifted up. So in the Greek of the New Testament, the mishpat, the Hebrew word for justice, for judgment, is krisis. The word judgment of our text. Now is the judgment of this world. The now judgment of our text by which God saves his own as he draws them to the lifted up Jesus Christ and condemns the world in sin. All those who aren't drawn to Jesus Christ refuse to believe the gospel. That's a decisive moment again. God showed a type of this decisive kind of moment in past history. Think of Noah's flood, where Noah, the righteous preacher, was saved in his family when the wicked world that refused to hear him perished. So Jesus Christ's judgment of this world, his being lifted up in his crucifixion and exaltation, that judgment upon the world has been hanging over this present world enslaved to sin. It's been hanging over this present world, and it will until that judgment is finalized upon his return. And then the prince of this world, the ruler of this world, is finally, ultimately cast out into the everlasting lake of fire, where he'll be tormented forever along with all those remained enslaved to him, did not heed the call of the gospel to look to him who gives life. So now is the time, beloved, and we should be compassionately saying this to people we know who have not yet believed in Jesus Christ, who are on the way to perishing until and unless they do. So now is the time for all sinners to turn to the lifted up Christ Jesus proclaimed by the gospel so they might not perish but have everlasting life. It's the only way. So leading up to the now of our text of Jesus' glorification by his death and exaltation, Jesus had allowed Mary to anoint him with expensive perfume, and he said it was intended for the day of my burial. He knew where he was headed. He knew he would be lifted up on the cross and then exalted. The exaltation that would yield the life that was evidenced by the resurrected Lazarus already. And so in verse 27, as we read it, Jesus says, now as he is about to be glorified by his humiliation on the cross, by his death on the cross, he says, my soul is troubled because of the purpose of this hour to which he's going, for which Christ became the Son of Man. Troubled because he would now, as he's speaking of it in our text, he would now drink the bitter cup of the cross. And right before the now of the cross, Jesus prays to his Father in heaven to glorify him with the glory that he had with the Father before the world began. See, the eternal Son of God was always had glory with the Father and with the Spirit in eternity before the creation. And so again, the now of our text speaks not only of the death of Christ, that's part of his being lifted up, but also it's being restored to the glory he had before the foundation. It speaks of his exaltation, now exalted as the Son of Man, Christ incarnate, exalted, glorified, to rule, to cast out the devil, to free God's people from the power of sin and death, to make them free to serve righteousness, to serve Jesus Christ. We should remind ourselves often of this great benefit that is ours as we have been drawn to the lifted up Jesus Christ. We're not enslaved to the devil anymore. We can say no to that which is unrighteous, that which is unholy, that which is ungodly as we see it all around us. We pray, God, strengthen me to live fitting for being a Christian, for him who was lifted up to take care of my sin and lifted up to rule so that I might live under his rule and do what is pleasing to you, O God. May we remind ourselves as we go forth to live in this following week of that great truth. The now of our text, this particular decisive point on the decreed redemptive line decreed by God in eternity, there would be this redemption, there would be this moment. Christ would come and be lifted up. Now is the time of this decisive moment that was that history that was initiated by Adam's sin. So now this historic moment is also called in Scripture the fullness of time, Galatians 4:4. And we must all think and we must try to convince others that this is real history. This really happened. The Apostle John writes in 1 John, speaking of the Jesus who was glorified, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked on it, we have touched, we have seen it, and we testify to it. That's a call to believe in the lifted up Jesus Christ. It's a historical reality. He was lifted up on the cross and exalted. A call to trust in him, to follow him, to love him, to serve him, to have everlasting life fulfilled at his coming again for us who are his disciples. I mentioned this earlier, but the now of this judgment of Christ being lifted up, that judgment he made, is a fulfillment of the prophecy of Genesis 3:15, addressed to the deceiving serpent after he had instigated the fall of our real historic first parents, Adam and Eve. That's the serpent of old, the deceiver. You can be as God, just eat of the forbidden fruit. And here's what God said to him. I will put enmity between you and your woman, and between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. See, bruising the head of Satan is a fatal blow to Satan's power. Cast out, ultimately cast out into the lake of fire. Whereas bruising the heel signifies that the cross does not destroy Jesus, but it exalts him to rule with all power, all authority over heaven and earth. And so that's why Jesus can say, as he's looking ahead to his being lifted up, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Because the power belongs not to Satan, but to Jesus Christ. So the most immediate meaning of Satan, the ruler role, being cast out, is from having power over the nations. Now, the power is taking from him. The devil would not be able to keep people of all nations, languages, and tongues, Gentiles and Jews, all whom God would effectively call by the gospel, would not keep them from being drawn to Jesus Christ, to be freed from sin's bondage, to be free from the power of sin and death. Remember Isaiah 42 that we read. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles by granting them too to be incorporated into the covenant of grace, whose promise of God to be God to his people and dwell with them in the midst is fulfilled through the lifting up of the Son of Man, lifted up to glory where he will take us. We will be there in the new heavens and the new earth, in fulfillment of the promise to Abraham, fulfilled through the lifted up Jesus Christ. Drawn to Christ, the lifted up Christ, to become his disciples. Reflect on that. Freed from our enslavement to Satan's power, freed to begin walking in the righteousness in which God created man and restores us to that righteousness through Jesus Christ and by faith in him. Oh, to be drawn to the lifted up Jesus Christ, to be reconciled to God, to not perish but as his disciples to have everlasting life in him. Let that impact our lives. You know, the Belgian Confession of Faith speaks of the sin-cleansing blood of the lifted-up Son of Man, speaking of his crucifixion. It says, he is our Red Sea through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is the devil, and enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. Well, the spiritual land of Canaan is ultimately the church in glory. It's the new heavens and new earth is where we will dwell. It's the kingdom where all things are reconciled under one head, Jesus Christ. And that is entrance into is only by way of the Jesus lifted up, crucified, exalted. Only by the now of this historic, crucial, crisis moment recorded for us in the gospel. Another foreshadowing of this decisive moment of the lifting up by which God's people are spared their condemnation is from Numbers 21. As Israel was afflicted with deadly fiery serpents because of their complaints against God who had brought them out of Egypt, and now where they were in the wilderness and they're not happy about it, God grants resolution of this crisis by having them lift up a bronze serpent, and whoever looked upon the lifted up serpent, even though bitten, lived. That's a type of the now judgment of our text. Another way of defining the crisis that is resolved only by the lifted up Jesus Christ is to say that this world is in darkness. The darkness into which it was brought by Adam's sin, by the instigation of the devil. The world is in darkness, but who came into darkness? Light. The light that is Christ Jesus, God incarnate. In the first chapter of the Gospel of John, the incarnate Word of God is called the light that shines in the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, who brought light into the realm of the darkness of sin and death by his being lifted up and drawing people to himself, who is the light, that they might walk in the light. Walk in the light, as opposed to walking in the darkness, in which those who walk in the darkness shall perish everlastingly. See, the darkness into which Christ came as the light is the crisis of man under the devil's bondage, under the devil's rule, making himself out to be as God. That's what makes this world disordered. That's why we have all the crises that we talk about. All the lack of peace, the war, the crime, the domestic violence, all the lack of justice, crimes unpunished, all the lack of love for neighbor, can all be laid at the feet of the devil, who instigated man's wanting to be as God, living as though he were God, determining for himself right and wrong, as we see that all around us, as we are prone to still want to do that for ourselves, if we allow ourselves, if we don't make use of the means of grace, if we don't abide in Christ and his word. See, that man wanting to be as God, that's man living the lie he believes, as he's ensnared by Satan, the great deceiver, already so in the Garden of Eden. But God came in the flesh to be lifted up as the Son of Man, and thereby to restore order by drawing sinners to himself, who thereby now submit their lives to him, to the lordship of Christ, live in accordance with the law of God. Not perfectly, but that characterizes the lives of disciples of Jesus Christ, those brought out of the darkness into the light. As we submit our lives as disciples of Christ to the Lord, trusting him to work all things together for our good, we are blessed. What a comfort. We have to understand that without the judgment of this world by Christ being lifted up and drawing sinners to himself as followers of the Lord, God would have no people willing from now on to live unto him. Without the resolution of this crisis of sin, none of us sinners would be granted the forgiveness of all of our sins. None of us would be granted everlasting fellowship with God. And that's all ours. We live in that comfort because of Jesus lifted up and then drawing us to him. And that proclamation of that good news that the lifter of Christ calls all men to be submissive to him, to love him, to believe in him, to trust in him, so they may, by that faith, by God's grace, live in the certain knowledge that they have peace with God now and forever. See, as we are drawn to Christ and become his disciples, as that is evident by our lives, we can serve as we're called to be the salt of the earth, the light on a hill, showing forth our victory over the power of sin, or the power of Satan, as we walk in the light. By being crucified together with Christ, by being raised to new life in Christ, by his being always with us, by his poured out Holy Spirit dwelling in us, the church, our lives become ever more characterized by serving him. And Jesus tells us in our text that if we are his servants, God will honor us, will honor us with glory. You read this text and you can see why there might be some natural skepticism to the devil being cast out. Skepticism of this claim, now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Does it not appear to claim something that we do not see some 2,000 years now after that decisive moment of Christ being lifted up? Is it evident to us as we sojourn in this present life that the ruler of this world has indeed been cast out? Yeah, we continue to see wickedness all around us. And there are indeed still many crises in the world that reflect a lack of resolution. We know that the world of unrepentant sinners, the world of sin, which those are the disciples of Satan, they will be around us. And even within the visible church until the end of history, the parable of the wheat and the tares and the dragnet teach us that reality. But that does not nullify, beloved, the reality that this world was judged in that historical moment marked by the crucifixion and resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ. The bad news we hear all the time does not nullify the reality that Satan has been cast out as the ruler of the nations. That's why the church has grown like a mustard seed. That's why people continue to come, are drawn to Christ Jesus, lifted up, as we witness it here, as we witness it throughout where mission works are established. Listen for your assurance again to Revelation 21-3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. For that 1,000 years has brought all kinds of perspectives, all kinds of definitions, all kinds of interpretations in the history of the church. But the 1,000 years, we confess, we believe by interpreting Scripture with Scripture, refers to the gospel age, this present gospel age, the history spanning Christ coming into the world to be lifted up, spanning the time to when he comes back to fulfill all of redemption, the resurrection of his church to glory, and the casting out of all those who remained in rebellion against God. So Satan's binding means that he cannot keep the gospel from going forth and drawing sinners to be lifted up in Christ to new life. And to bound Satan, much as he lashes out on his chain against the church, he cannot destroy it, because as Christ exalted rule, he rules, Christ rules over Satan. He rules, Christ does, for the sake of gathering and defending and preserving his church all the way to its triumphant glory. And nothing that the devil can derail Christ's rule for us, his church. It's for our sake, for us whose trust is in the lifted up Christ Jesus, that Satan is bound. Believe it. See, we are already in Christ as we have been drawn to the risen Christ, to the lifter of Christ. We're judged righteous in the sight of God. Satan cannot, as much as he might try, to rip us apart from God's love in Christ Jesus. Satan can't tear apart our passport as citizens of the heavenly kingdom of peace, because the Lord was lifted up, exalted, rules with all authority in heaven and on earth. So, beloved, let us praise the Lord for his grace and mercy in granting us to be drawn to the lifted up Jesus to have everlasting life in him. Praise the Lord for having the gospel go forth that proclaims the lifted up Jesus Christ, that many more might be drawn to him, to trust in him, to not perish but have everlasting life in him, to be able to walk in the light rather than in the darkness which is doomed to perishing. And so our prayer is, my prayer for you is, your prayer for one another, for the church should be, may we continue to make our walk. May God equip us. May God work in us to make our walk more and more fitting for those delivered out of the darkness of sin's power and death under Satan, so that more and more we are salt and light in our communities. May we demonstrate that this fellowship, the church, visible congregations, that's the people drawn to Christ, people saved unto eternal life in Christ, so that we have peace with God. May our peace with God be evident by our joy, by our rejoicing, by our not being anxious, for we know the lifted up Christ rules for the sake of making the church finally victorious. So may we serve the lifted up Jesus Christ as faithful witnesses until his return and the fulfillment of our peace. Amen.